considered the scores as well as the equity framework, and for current grantees, looked at past performances applicable. Their work was able to identify 135 strong applicants and have a funding recommendation that was in line with the funding per strategy that was outlined in the strategic investment plan to bring 135 proposals to you tonight for your consideration. After your approval, if your approval happens, we will bring us to the Life Enrichment Committee of City Council for adoption. And then finally, the last step is be full City Council for adoption. And the City Council has the ability to accept the proposal packet you provide to them or reject it. They are not, per the legislation, able to provide line item adjustments to your funding recommendation. So if it's not approved by City Council, we would reconvene the Planning Oversight Committee for a new funding packet recommendation. Okay, next slide. And just some context, the last funding cycle, OFCY was able to provide $19.8 million in grant funding to 154 awards. That was a substantial increase from the prior cycle where it was less than $15 million was able to be provided for grants. So it was only a $5 million increase 3 years ago in grants. As I said earlier in that financial section, that reason the grant funds were able to rise so much 3 years ago was the rapid spend down of all the carry forward funds from prior years. But you see, it is $2 million above what is able to be recommended now. Another change that impacts the funding number of grant awards is that I did raise the maximum grant request from single agencies from 200,000 up to 250,000, for collaborations from 400,000 up to 500,000, and for small and emerging applicants up to 125,000 from 100,000. This is a comparison of the proposals received, the 246 proposals received requesting $37 million and the 135 proposals recommended for $17.8 million. And as you see, the difference is pretty vast. Proposals applicants received requested $20 million above what is provided to you tonight for the funding packet. And some strategies were very competitive. Many proposals received. As you see, like the social emotional well-being and early childhood, 12 proposals received and only 3 able to be recommended for the funding range that was specified in the RFP. Similarly, in the youth development leadership, where 69 proposals were received requesting nearly $12 million, we were able to present a funding recommendation for 26 awards for just north of $4 million. Next slide. Now I'll walk into each of the funding strategies and the recommended funding and awards. So as I just highlighted, the social emotional well-being and early childhood strategy, it was one that the projected funding range was $500,000 to $600,000 a year. OFCY received 12 proposals requesting $1.677 million. And ultimately, the funding recommendation is for 3 programs at the high end of $600,000 for Lincoln's Early Childhood Mental Health Collaborative, Jewish Family and Community Services Integrated Early Childhood Consultation Program, and Through the Looking Glass for Nurturing Relationships and Strengths of 0 to 5 Children and Their Families.
Mike, just before we move on, I just wanted to flag, just because I saw it, and for transparency purposes, to note that committee member Avi, who served on the subcommittee, the review subcommittee, did flag that he formerly served as the ED of Jewish Family Services and recused himself when the conversation around that proposal was brought forth. Your screen is black, Mike.
He's frozen.
Oh, okay.
So he may be rejoining.
Yeah, he's probably gonna have to log back on. Sorry, y'all. We will kick it back off as soon as Mike is able to log back in.
Apologies about that. I'm back.
It's okay.
So here's a map of the service site. I don't know how long I was frozen there for. So
I don't know if you heard my comment. Did you?
No, I missed it.
Oh, I was just flagging from the last slide. I was doing it just for transparency purposes and also because Avi was not here, flagging that he had recused himself during that strategy conversation, given his prior service with one of the grantees.
Thank you, Tessa. So for those three programs recommended, they are proposing quite a lot of sites, but there's 29 service sites projected for the strategy. As you can see, most of the service sites are in West, East, and Central Oakland. They are predominantly based at OUSD Child Development Centers and City of Oakland Head Start sites. Here is the projected race and ethnicity of the children and youth to be served, as well as the adults. There's projected 2,000 children 0 to 5 to be reached in the strategy. The plurality would be Hispanic or Latino, Latinx at 700, followed by Black or African American at 461 children.
I think he is frozen again. Give us a few minutes and he'll probably log back on. Thank you for your patience. Mike, I think you're frozen. I see your volume markers. Sarah, I don't know if you want to potentially step in or we're going to just wait for Mike. Oh, he's back.
My family uses the microwave downstairs. My Wi-Fi gets turned off. I don't understand why, but they won't be microwaving.
It does it at my house too, some strangely. And if you have more trouble, Mike, try turning your camera off. That helps reduce the load at least.
There's no microwaving going on, but we'll go on to the next one. And here's a projection of the zip codes for the where the children and youth would be residing. And as you can see, the majority would be in the Fruitvale district, followed by West Oakland and then East Oakland. Next slide. The second strategy is for family resource centers and parent engagement. This is a last cycle, there was two distinct funding strategies. And then this most recent strategic investment plan, they were combined into one funding strategy with a projected range of 2.28 to 2.38 million available. OCY did receive 17 proposals requesting 4.4 million in support. And we were able to recommend 10 programs for funding of 2.261035. Program included Bananas Incorporated, for Healthy Havens Court, Dads Evoking Change, which is a new small and emerging program to support African-American fathers. It's funding requested for East Bay Agency for Children's Hawthorne Family Resource Center, community-based FRC. Family Bridges program in Chinatown would be a new program as well to provide support for children and their families. Lincoln Rise New Highland Family Resource Center and Lotus Bloom's Culturally Responsive Family Resource Center. Next slide. Our Family Coalition's program to support LGBTQ intersectional inclusive family support and trauma services for LGBTQ parents, support for refugee and immigrant transitions, parent and taught initiative, and Safe Passages Baby Learning Community, and a grant for Tandem to provide early literacy programming through Early Learning Everywhere, Building Family Connections. The next slide. Program locations are predominantly West Oakland, East Oakland, as well as you can see, some in District 1, 2, 5, and 6. The projected children and youth are provided here by race and ethnicity. Nearly half would be projected to be Hispanic or Latinx, followed by Black, African American, and Asian, Asian American, Filipino. There are a lot, there's a large preponderance of Arab and other Middle Eastern families being represented here in youth and in parents. And this is the growth that the Oakland has been a home for refugees from the Middle East, particularly Yemeni families. And we're seeing rising demographics of that population in Oakland for, and will be recommended for service through a couple of our programs in the strategy. Similarly to last strategy, the actually highest percentage is in District 7. 790 children and youth are represented in East Oakland, followed by Central Oakland and West Oakland. I'll take a break and pass it to Scott to go through the next three strategies.
All right. So the goal area of student success in schools, our first strategy there is the comprehensive after school and elementary schools. The funding range there was 3.2 million to 3.3. So we received 43 applications, 43 proposals requesting a total of 3.8 million. And we were able to fund 38 of those programs for 3.2. So it's a long list of funded recommendations that we're listing, so I won't read through each one of them. This comprehensive after-school strategy is a little unique in that in the strategy itself, we did cap the grant amount. So instead of like for a single agency requesting $250,000 per program, they were limited to $85,000 for this strategy. So because of that limit, we're able to fund a lot of the programs at lower dollar amounts. And our OFCY dollars have historically complemented the state ACES funding as well as the federal 21st century funding. Many programs use our funding as the match. We also did not fund New Highland Rise, one of those, they're merging. So one of those schools are closing, and EBAC did apply for both grants because at the time of the RFP, it was uncertain how that would go down, but the board has made a decision at this point. So I will just click through these slides without reading each and every one of them. So here's the service location of the schools, pretty spread out. Once again, mostly below 580. And we have a projected participants of under just under 4,000, 3,700 youth. And the majority of the participants is Hispanic or Latinx, followed by African-American and then Asian. This is sort of reflective of the LUSD school population. And here's the breakdown by zip codes that our applicants projected. And once again, it's like the central sort of the Fruitvale area has the most number of students, followed by DP Stokeland, District 7, and then West Oakland, Central. So our next strategy is strategy number 4, comprehensive after school and middle schools. The projected funding range published in the RFP and was 1.7 to 1.8 million. We received 19 applications for a total of 1.8 million. And we were able to recommend funding for 16 programs at 1.5. So once again, just like the elementary school, the cap for this strategy was $100,000 instead of the single agency application grant limit of 250. So once again, I won't take the time to read all of these goals. And just like the elementary schools, our funding does complement the state and federal ACES and 21st century funds. Here's the site locations. Here's the projected number of youth to be served, just under 2,200. And once again, it's led by Hispanic or Latinx students, just over 1,200, followed by Black or African American, and then by Asian, Asian American, Filipino. Here's the projected zip code breakdown. And once again, strong in the Fruitvale, and then in DP Stokeland, West Oakland. So this was a new strategy for us. It's the middle school engagement, wellness, and transitions. It was brought up to the surface during the strategic planning process at the challenges that middle school students face. So projected funding range was 610,000 to 710,000. We received a total of 9 proposals asking for just under 1 million. We're able to recommend 5 programs at 710, which is at the high end of the range. And we're able to recommend East Oakland Boxing Association, their after-school program targeted for middle schools, grades 6 through 8. Fresh Lifelines for Youth, or FLY, FLY Middle School Program for Oakland Youth. The West Oakland Initiative from Lincoln, Safe Passages, Elevate Youth, as well as the Unity Council, the Latino Men and Boys Program. And here are the proposed service locations, the proposals. And a projection of the youth to be served at 565 youth. So it's about equally representative between Black or African American youth and Hispanic or Latinx youth. Then here's the zip code breakdown of projected participants once again. So Deep East Oakland, West Oakland, and Central. So the last strategy in this student success in school goal area is the high school and post-secondary student success. There's a projected range of 950,000 to 1,050,000. We received 18 proposals for almost $3 million. And we're able to recommend funding for 9 programs at $1,025,000. It includes Central Legal de la Raza, the Youth Law Academy, College Track, Oakland International High School, the Newcomer Youth Wellness and Leadership Initiative, Oakland Kids First, Nike Success, Oakland Unified School District for their Student Engagement and Restorative Justice Program, Refugee and Immigrant Transitions, the Newcomer Community Engagement Program, Team Inc. Core Program, which is a new agency for us, and the Center for Independent Living, which is also new, and the Mentoring Center, Emerge. Here are the proposed service site locations. And if the members, as well as the public, want a little bit more detail of where these service sites are, you can refer to the agenda packet. There is a list of corresponding service sites to these numbers. There's the proposed participants, youth participants by race, ethnicity. Once again, the Hispanic Latinx participants at about 1,800, followed by Black or African American youth, almost 700, followed by Asian American youth. Then here's the geographic breakdown once again by zip code. And sort of following the trends, Central Oakland, Deep East Oakland, and Southern West Oakland. Mike, you want me to keep on going or do you want to?
I can take it on.
All right.
So the Youth Leadership and Development Funding Strategy is the largest one. It's a strategy that is intended to provide children and youth with access to asset-based positive youth development programs that recognize, utilize, and enhance youth strengths and promote positive outcomes for young people. Overall, the strategy has a particular focus on three areas, being arts, recreation, and cultural enrichment, supporting and expanding safe community spaces, particularly for the most vulnerable children and youth in Oakland, and youth leadership, organizing, and advocacy and civic engagement. The RFP dedicated approximately $4 million for the funding range for this strategy. OSUI did receive 69 proposals requesting $11.87 million. We are able to provide a recommendation tonight for 26 of those programs with total funding of $4,070,347. The programs support a wide range of programming from Alameda County's court-appointed special advocates to American Indians Child Resource Center's Cultural Keepers Program, APAL, American Pacific Network, Asian Pacific Environmental Network's APAL program to build API community power, Aspire Education to promote literacy through the Community Reading Buddies program, Attitudinal Healing Connections Oakland Legacy Project, a collaboration with the West Oakland Environmental Indicators program, Bay Area Outreach and Recreation Program, or BORP, which provides sports and recreation for youth with disabilities. Bay Area Scores provide recreation at multiple schools, Community United for Restorative Youth Justice, or Courage, for their Homies for Justice and Dream Beyond Bars program. CommuniWorks West, working with families, children of incarcerated parents, and involved in the juvenile justice system for Project What? Covenant House's Dreamcatcher Youth Program for youth experiencing homelessness. Destiny Arts Center's Destiny in Oakland Schools provide arts and enrichment. Dimensions Dance Theater's Rites of Passage Program. East Oakland Youth Development Center's Youth Leadership and Development Program for children grades K through 8. FLY's program, Fresh Lifelines for Youth, the program for young leaders. Friends of Peralta Hacienda Historic Park for their youth program. The Museum of Children's Art, MOCA, for a program, Youth Leadership Now. And the Native American Health Center's Indigenous Youth Leadership Development Program. Oakland Kids First Real Hard Youth Leadership Program, Oakland Leafs Foundation's Internship Program, the Oakland LGBTQ Community Center for LGBTQ Youth Leadership Programming, City of Oakland's Park Recreation and Youth Development Program for Discovery Science, RJOY, or Restorative Justice for Oakland Youth, their youth program, Safe Passages Get Active Arts Program, SPAT, which is Student Program for Academic and Athletic Transitioning for their McClimas Leadership Program, the Unity Council's Latinx Mentoring and Achievement Program, and Oakland Public Education Fund's Youth Beat Media Arts and Leadership Program, working in Oakland Unified School District High Schools. As you see, the programs, the 28 programs recommended, 26 programs recommended, sorry. There's a big concentration in downtown Oakland, which is accessible via public transportation to a large group of youth in Oakland, as well as District 5, Central Oakland, and then sites throughout. The one site up there that you see, District Council District 4, I believe, is Skyline High School. Next slide. Strategy for projecting to serve 4,716 youth. That's, again, one of the largest strategies outside of after school. Majority, where plurality being Hispanic, Latino, children and youth, 18,024 projected, and African-American children and youth, 1,615 projected, followed by Asian population. And that is followed by children and youth of two or more races at 209. Programs project to engage youth from across the city of Oakland, but the majority would be, again, in Central Oakland, East Oakland, and West Oakland. The Summer Academic Enrichment Programming is designed to provide programming in summer months for children and youth to participate in quality academic enrichment experiences. Programming includes community-based programs at community locations, as well as programs that operate in partnership with Oakland Unified School District. The RFP projected 780,000 to 880,000 available for the strategy. OFCOI received 17 proposals requesting $2.18 million. The funding packet before you supports 8 programs at a funding level of 786,000. And these include Acton on Verba's Youth Urban Farm Project, Destiny Arts Center's Camp Destiny Program, East Bay Consortium's Pre-Collegiate Academy, East Oakland Youth Development Center's Summer Cultural Enrichment Program, Girls Incorporated of Alameda County's Concordia Park Program, Lincoln's Oakland Freedom Schools Program, Oakland Park and City of Oakland's Park and Recreation Youth Development's Oakland Fine Arts Summer School, and Prescott Circus Theater's Summer Circus and Academic Program. These are the projected service locations as of the time of application. We do know that some of the service sites may shift for those programs working in partnership with Oakland Unified School District as they solidified their summer service locations. But at the time of receipt of proposals from February 22nd, this was the projected distribution. Programs in the summer strategy that are recommended for your adoption, nearly half proposed to be serving Black African-American children and youth as the majority population, a near majority, followed by Hispanic, Latinx children and youth, and the third category being children and youth of two or more race and ethnicities. Programs in the strategy predominantly are pulling from children and youth residing in District 6 and 7 in East Oakland, as well as District 5, Fruitvale, and then District 3 in West Oakland. Strategy 9 is the violence prevention programming. This is a new funding strategy that was realized for the strategic investment plan for 22-25. It does, the aim was to expand restorative justice and other promising violence prevention programs, specifically to support youth ages 11 to 21. They're looking to support violence prevention education, peer leadership, restorative justice and healing practices to help youth build mastery of anti-violence competencies. So OSUI received 6 proposals requesting $952,000 in the strategy, is recommending 4 of those programs for a total funding of $780,000. This includes community and youth outreaches, a Healthy, Wealthy, Wise program, the Mentoring Center's Transformative Youth Violence Prevention Program, United Roots' You Are Music, and Youth Alive for the Teens on Target program. Service site locations are predominantly West and East Oakland. And out of the 479 youth projected to be served, 214 are projected to be Hispanic or Latino, 177 Black or African American, followed by 2 or more races at 39. Programs are projecting that the youth that they will serve reside predominantly in East Oakland, Central Oakland, and West Oakland. Okay. The last funding goal area is for the transition to productive adulthood. The funding strategies here are career access and employment for opportunity youth. The funding projected in this RFP was $1.6 to $1.7 million. OSUI received 17 proposals requesting nearly $3.6 million in the strategy. We are able to provide a recommendation to support 8 programs for a total recommended funding of $1.54 million. And this strategy is intended to support youth ages 16 to 21, predominantly youth that are already this is for disconnected youth. So youth that are not enrolled in school and not currently employed. So these disconnected youth or opportunity youth, we're looking to support through some comprehensive programming that addresses the employment needs as well as educational support and wraparound services to help youth gain the stability needed to move towards employment and educational milestones. So programs suggest recommend for funding here included Bridges from School to Work's Bridges from School to Work program to support youth with disabilities employment, Center for Young Women's Development to support females and through the Siblings on the Rise Economic Empowerment Program, and CivicCorps program to support opportunity youth through the Conservation Career Pathway Program. First place for youth to work with youth who are aging out of the foster care system through the Youth Apprenticeship for Economic Empowerment. Support for New Door Ventures program to provide comprehensive job training and employment programs for Oakland's opportunity youth. Support for Safe Passages for their Life and Career Roadmap program. the Youth Employment Partnership for the Open Career Connections Program, and Youth Uprising for YU Career and Education Program. Service sites here are predominantly in downtown location, as well as District 2, with service sites as well as in Districts 6 and 7. These programs do pull youth from citywide, but the majority of youth projected to be served are African-American out of 705 youth, 472 are African-American, followed by Hispanic or Latinx at 133. As you see, most youth are projected to reside in East Oakland and Central Oakland, followed by West Oakland and North. All right, career access and employment for youth in school is to provide high school students and recent graduates with support for programming to help youth continue in their academics, but gain work experience and exposure through strong industry-aligned workforce programming. It helps young people learn about industries and employment and what's required to gain these jobs. So also I did receive 15 proposals requesting 2.8 million out of a projected 830 to 930,000 of funds available. We are able to recommend 5 programs with total funding of 935,000. And these include Alameda Health System's HEAL program, Health Excellence in Academic Leadership, Genesis Work Bay Area to help young people gain employment experience through internships through the Pathways to College and Career Success for Oakland High School students. The Hidden Genius programs, Hidden Genius Projects, Hidden Genius Intensive Immersion Program to work with African-American males specifically on coding. Oakland Unified School District's funding for exploring college, career, and community options, so the ECHO program, and Youth Radio's program for media education and employment pathways. Service site locations, again, are concentrated in downtown Oakland. And as you see, some in District 1, 6, and 7. Out of the 898 youth, the largest group projected to serve are Black or African-American children and youth, followed by Latinx and Asian-American Filipino children and youth. And the majority of youth will reside in East Oakland, Central Fruitvale District, and West Oakland, as well as Chinatown, San Antonio neighborhood. And the last strategy to discuss is the sub-strategy for career awareness and employment for youth in school is the Oakland Summer Youth Employment Strategy. This is a strategy in partnership with the Oakland Workforce Development Board to directly support Oakland's summer employment opportunities to help high school youth gain first-time job experience in the summer months and to earn a wage. This strategy is developed with, as I said, Oakland Workforce Development Board to co-fund programs. We received 4 proposals requesting $633,997 with projected funding of $300,000 to $400,000 available. OFCY is recommending 3 programs for $300,000. Those are LAO Family Community Development Programs, Oakland Youth on the Move, the Youth Employment Partnership Summer Jobs for Successful Futures, and Tribe Incorporated's program for summer job programs. The Oakland Workforce Development Board will, as I said, be co-funding this and looks to add an additional $300,000 in support for these 3 applicants, which will be approved at their meeting next week. Service sites are concentrated here in San Antonio District, 1, 2, and 3, right there. For citywide employment, the employment sites are not set yet, but programs do work with a large number of for-profit businesses, nonprofit businesses as well for placement sites for youth to gain their employment experience. The 205 youth to be served, nearly half or 93 youth are projected to be Black or African American, followed by Hispanic youth and then Asian Filipino youth. And the majority of youth are projected to reside in San Antonio, Fruitvale districts, followed by East Oakland and West Oakland. Now, the last slides are a combination of all the service locations. I believe there's over 300 service locations proposed by the 135 programs. As you can see, the majority are in downtown West Oakland, District 5, Fruitvale, San Antonio District, and then Districts 6 and 7. And out of the children and youth projected to be served, the majority, but I believe it was 40% are projected to be African-American children, Latinx children and youth, followed by African-American children and youth. About 43% are projected to be Hispanic Latino, and 31.3% are projected to be Black African American. There's a larger percentage of children and youth projected to be served that are African American than reside in Oakland, based on OFCY's community needs assessment work that was supporting the strategic investment plan. It identified that approximately 18% of children and youth in Oakland ages 0 to 24 are African American. Programs recommended tonight for you are proposing to serve 31% of the total population to be African American, meaning that there is an intentionality to support the African American population through direct services through this funding. The second largest group is, again, we do have this slide. I forgot we had that slide. Thanks. And then the second largest group is the Hispanic Latinx children and youth population, which is the fastest growing demographic in Oakland. As you can see, in Oakland, about 13% of children and youth are white alone, not Latinx. And I think they project about 3% of children and youth in services recommended for you tonight, programs recommended for you tonight will be serving white children and youth. So overall, the programs are addressing equity and really directing services, particularly in support of African-American children and youth. Here's the breakdown of where the programs project their young people to reside. You see the majority being Fruitvale, followed by East Oakland, followed by West Oakland. Right. Is that the end of the slideshow, Scott?
Yep, that's the last slide.
All right. I also wanted to address, which we don't have a slide on, but it is in the memo that OFCY is able to recommend 70 distinct agencies for funding through this recommendation for 135 programs that will support 70 agencies. Based on the information provided in the RFP, 63 out of these 70 agencies will be Oakland-based, knowing that there's a concerted intentionality to have funds support Oakland agencies to support Oakland children, youth, and families. The seven programs that are not Oakland-based will be providing some key services to priority populations, including commercially sexually exploited children, youth with disabilities, and immigrants and refugees. And then lastly, I just wanted to raise that OFCY programs really strongly support Oakland Unified School District. There are three grants directly to Oakland Unified School District from Oakland International High School's program grant for the Newcomer Youth Wellness and Leadership Initiative to supporting restorative justice through the Student Engagement and Restorative Justice Program, and supporting workforce through the Exploring College, Career, and Community Options Program. Beyond those grants, OFCY programs strongly support OUSD's full service community school model. Out of the 329 projected service sites, 188 of these, or 57%, are projected to be school-based. And this is from child development centers to elementary school, middle school, up to high school. In the report on page 11 or 11 of 13 of the memo, it does list those OUSD school sites that have five or more OFCY programs recommended. We don't provide the full list. I believe there's almost 90 of almost nearly all the schools are recommended to have a OFCY program site. So Oakland High School is not on this list, but there are four programs that I recommend for funding that would be doing providing direct services at Oakland High School. And then lastly, I just wanted to mention that this review process, there's a lot of quality proposals received. 206 proposals received scores of 70 or above and removes the review process. There's very highly competitive funding selections, and our review committee was able to develop a priority list of programs that when additional funds are identified, that the recommendation is that that funding goes to support programs that have been identified by the subcommittee. If more funding was available, they would look to really support these programs. So that's included as attachment 5 and the last slide in your meeting packet. And with that, I know I talked a lot, but I want to pass it to Anna Carita, who was our chair, if she would like to just talk about the process and add some insight to the decision making.
Thank you. Thank you for the presentation. So as the as being part of the subcommittee, we definitely considered, I think Mike talked about it earlier, the following. So we considered scores. We looked at scores and we had a discussion. We also referenced the equity framework. So we constantly went back to make sure that any recommendations that staff made, was it in line with the equity framework? We noted the strategies. And we also noted that the youth leadership development and comprehensive after school elementary was the two of them that had the most proposals. So that was really a challenge to kind of go through that and identify what programs, you know, again, reflected the equity framework. We considered the scores. We also considered past performance. And what I will say is that as a POC member, well, this is my second round of funding, but I wasn't on the subcommittee last time, but I've been on a subcommittee for evaluation. When we do evaluations, I know it's an area that's not necessarily the most lively, but it is something that we do consider when we think about funding in terms of evaluation and past performance. So that is the consideration in terms of our discussion in recommending, you know, the organizations that were funded. We also thought about, because this came up, like I will say the last time at POC when funding cycle came around, is a question of just, since we have a lot of money, do we just fund everyone? Or how do you focus on how much funding you provide? So when we consider that, we also identify, you know, organizations who are able to have those fundings and how sustainable they are, and match that with the evaluation process. Who are they serving? So because our goal was we want to provide a substantial amount of funding, so organizations will be sustainable versus giving, you know, a little bit here and a little bit there. So I know that may come up, but that was a discussion that we had as well. We also had discussion about, and Mike talked about it at the end, a few agencies are not Oakland-based, but they do provide either a strategy that's critical, or they serve Oakland students. But our hope is that all of our agencies will all be Oakland-based, in addition to provide serving our students, who are children, our youth in Oakland. So that is something that didn't go unnoticed, that the POC subcommittee did bring that up and voice our opinion about that. I think the other consideration in terms of just attendees is that it's all, especially being a part of the last funding cycle, it's always helpful to hear the stories of organizations throughout the 3 years, because sometimes what stories we hear doesn't necessarily translate on paper in terms of being a very rich story. So we encourage the last time, and I'll encourage this time as well, is just to continue to attend the POC meetings, even if it's during public comment, and just to talk about, you know, your program and the funding that you have and what, and, you know, some successes and also some of the challenges. But when we hear those rich stories, that also helps along the way, because again, this is not just a one-time cycle, this is a three-year process. So the expectation is when organizations receive the funding, they're also part of the evaluation process. They are part of being able to demonstrate what the impact is and being able to demonstrate how they're a sustainable program. So we appreciate those who took advantage of any of the technical workshops. I think we had some, right, Mike?
Yes.
Yes, so we appreciate those organizations that participate in those technical workshops to give you a, you know, just again, just to be able to submit a proposal that's very comprehensive. And it also helps, you know, as any subcommittee, when we review the proposal, well, we don't review the proposal, but we review the recommendations. However, we have readers and staff, you know, that they review the proposals. So, and then we also discussed when we do have, if there are available funding, we also considered a group of organizations to, you know, in terms of being able to receive those funds as well. So that's not in a nutshell. I know Tazian, if you had any comments, because I know our other committee members not.
No, I think you hit it right on the nail. I think what you ended at the part of your last statement was ensuring that organizations are speaking up about the work that they're doing and the impact that it has within the communities that they're serving ahead of time is super helpful, because it provides us context when we are in these more these smaller groups and kind of diving in a little deeper. We have more youth stories or more engagement to point to about the impact of the funds, the benefits, especially as even we go through the evaluation process. So I just wanted to underscore that, because I think that is really important. I'll leave it there for now.
So I'd like to ask, you know, the staff would recommend that the Planning Oversight Committee approve a motion to forward a recommendation for 135 grants awards totaling $17,817,382 to City Council for adoption.
So I will move to adopt.
Do we have a second?
And before a vote, you would take public comment.
I do have a question before we go to public comment, Mike. When the subcommittee, the review subcommittee meets again, and just taking into account, I guess, comment that has been given during our public comment portion about various, proposals or things of that nature, especially as we look at that parked list. And I know there were a lot more that were discussed. Is that something that we would look at again, or is that kind of just set in stone?
Yeah, you could look at that again, Tasia.
Okay, thank you.
This is Bill Wright. I have a comment. So it's more like on process, and maybe I was confused. Because before our meeting on last week, I asked, was this going to be a meeting that dealt with a final vote, or was this the first, kind of like the first reading? And I left with the impression, I talked with two or three staffers, and my understanding was this was going to be a first read. And so I've learned earlier in, before the meeting started, that this is a meeting to actually vote upon, a vote upon this. The only reason I raise this is because it's more like a process, because I've had several of these groups call me, and I've tried to share that with committees. In fact, I've had staffers say, well, how'd they get your phone number? Well, you know, we're public people on this. This is a public venue. So my reticence on supporting this is just basing on process, not with the hard work that the committee has done and staff has done, but just on process. So I just wanted to be clear on that before the vote is taken.
Yeah. I definitely noted, Committee Member Riley. I will say, I think this is, well, this is the first time that the board in full is hearing it. And I think given the packet that was, you know, sent out earlier for us to review, I think now is the time, if there are additional questions that you've had since the packet, and knowing the technical hiccup we had last week. So we were really fortunate to get another week to be able to dive deeper into the recommendations. And so I would think if there are any other questions that you may have related to the proposals, I think now is the time to definitely get them out and get them on the record. Because like Mike said, we know that our subcommittee is gonna meet again prior to our June meeting. And so there still is potential time to address any concerns. Cause like you, I also received calls about proposals. So
right. Oh, I appreciate that very much. Yeah, because the Oakland Cross, I mean, they called, and of course they made their concerns today. But so let me be clear. So this is not the final vote for our group.
It's supposed to, based on that, it's supposed, action is supposed to be taken for recommendation of the funds.
Okay. Right. And this is the process that was laid out at prior planning oversight committee meetings as well. That one slide that we walked through, the different steps of the process, has been the same.
Yeah, I'm not pushing on that. I'm just pushing on when I talked to staffers last week, what I was led to believe was happening on the meeting that was supposed to take place last week.
Okay. Pacoli, I see your hand is raised.
Yeah, I just I don't really have any questions about the recommendations. I did have a wondering that I wanted to lift up that might be something the review subcommittee has access to, but I noticed that we have the map on the stressors across Oakland. I'm curious the population density of children across Oakland and whether we're matching up to where children live. A lot of what I've heard from families is that they really want to have services based in their neighborhood. And just noticed one of the, you know, just looking at the final all services map, that we have a really small concentration in the Northeast, which is where we're also experiencing sometimes a significant amount of violence and lack of safety concerns. So just curious how we can like just be more conscientious around where our needs around the community are at, and where we're also mapping to our strategic priorities as a committee.
Duly noted. And if I think staff, if we're able to touch on that in our upcoming review subcommittee meeting and be able to provide any additional context in June, that would be helpful. So with that being said, given, is there any additional unreadiness? If not, I want to go back and call for a motion.
Do we have to take public comment first?
Oh, right. Yes, so public comment, you are so right, it's getting late. So attendees, if you would like to comment, please raise your hand. We'll keep the queue open for how long would you say, Scott? As I see, there's only one hand right now.
Let's see how many people raise their hands. Let's just keep it open for now.
Okay, we'll keep it open for now. And we see we have 1 minute on the clock. And so we'll call you, and when you're unmuted, please begin to speak. So
can we raise that to 2 minutes?
Yep, 2 minutes. Yeah. Caitlin, thank you. All righty, so we'll start with Ms. Olubala. Please unmute yourself and begin to speak.
Yes, this is a lot to digest in terms of finally concluding if this process involved fairness and equity with this volume of work that had to be done. So you had to look at and create a ranking system. You had to have a disqualifying system based on what, I don't know. You had to look at past performance for consideration. And when I look at that one, I'm seriously concerned about the Unity Council, who in 2015 misused federal restricted funds for which the program is taken away from them, and the city helped them to repay it in 2015. They were almost bankrupt, but every item that comes up on the agenda just about for the city of Oakland, the Unity Council gets funded, and looks like you got them here several times. I'm concerned about the categories. I've never seen anything broken down: Afro-Caribbean, Afro-Latin, South Asian, Asian, American. Don't know what that's all about, but that attempt to break down by race, and remember, Hispanics is not a race. Anybody in a racial group can be considered Hispanic or Latino. I didn't see McClyman's included. You mentioned Oakland High. I didn't see the African-American male achievement. I didn't see the Black students thriving, for which the OUSD has said they have to find money to help Black students who are disproportionately failing in the district. So I'm very much concerned about the process. Always see the Lau family getting money across the board in the city of Oakland. And because so much is going on with the Human Services Department, unfairly and unjustly supporting Black people.
Thank you. Your time has expired. We will now go to our next attendee. Actually, I don't see another hand raised at this time. So if you would like to give comment, now is the time to raise your hand. If not, we will move forward on action for item number 6.
I just want to clarify that the categories of race and ethnicity that we are using, that we use for the request for proposal process, was what the city of Oakland uses for their own categorization of staff and employment. So when you apply for a job for the city of Oakland, they ask your category. We took that information, how the city of Oakland categorizes individuals, to use for our request for proposal.
Got it. I see another hand was raised. Ms. Linda Gayden, you're going to be promoted, and please unmute yourself, and you have 2 minutes to speak.
Yes, good evening. Thank you so much for having this session. Just a quick question, and that is, can an organization look at the points and or understand how the organization was rated, and will you be able to give that to the organization?
Okay, thank you. Mike, will you address that?
Yes, we will be able to provide it to the organization that requests it, their score in the comments.
Yeah. One of the things that, Anna Karita, please correct me if I'm wrong, but I know we did discuss at the last subcommittee meeting the need or just even the opportunity. We thought that the technical workshop that OFCY provided prior to the RFP process was super helpful. And if potentially additional support for the next funding cycle if something like that would be considered prior to the application process, so that grant or applicants are truly aware and really understand the scoring system and what that process is, so that they are aware how their proposals are being reviewed. And I know I'm not saying it the way it was discussed, so Anakarita, please correct me
if I think I'm wrong. We definitely did request that. And I think, I know there's certain areas where staff cannot help someone do that, but they can help them understand and clarify mm-hmm. what their process is, as well as we also did inquire and ask for those organizations who were disqualified, whether it was a timeline or something technicality, were those organizations also notified? So it is clear, you know, just that sometimes just the way a proposal was submitted, unfortunately, when it's a competition like this, we just wanted organizations to know that as well. So it just wasn't a mystery in terms of, especially if they didn't see their name at all on any list.
Awesome, thank you. Yeah. So again, I just wanna thank the city for their work, the subcommittee for their work, for the committee members here tonight, for your work and your leadership. This is a very hard process. Again, there's not enough resources to go around, and so it is competitive. And we wanna, you know, support as many organizations as possible, because we know all are doing great work to support our youth throughout the city, but our hands are tied given the amount of funds that we have to allocate.
And Madam Chair, I just wanted to emphasize again, I think you said it, but I just want to make sure it's clear for like some of the attendees, is that we, as a subcommittee, we do have although we did discuss like a group of organizations that would receive funding, you know, if funding becomes available, but we also are taking into consideration, you know, what we heard tonight as well.
So we definitely will.
That it didn't fall on deaf ears, that we heard, you know, those who spoke, and that will be taken into consideration as well.
Definitely. So now that we've had public comment.
We have one more public comment.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry, I missed you. Zachary Whelan, please unmute yourself. You have 2 minutes to speak.
Yeah, hi, thank you so much. I was wondering if you could describe the appeals process for a project that wasn't selected. Thank you so much.
Okay, Mike.
Yes, if there's a successful vote to adopt the funding package, staff tomorrow will send out emails to all the applicants informing them of the recommendation, either to support their program or that the program wasn't selected. For the programs not selected, there will be instructions on an appeals process. The appeals process is that OFCY needs to receive within 7 days of notification an appeal based on a template we'll provide to you as well. The appeal must be based on one of three grounds, either that it's an unfair process, that you received unequal treatment in the application, or that there was a material mistake of fact, that was a material understanding, misunderstanding, or mistake in evaluating your application, or third, that there was a conflict of interest that compromised the funding decision. So the appeals are not to be based on just a general disagreement with the funding recommendations. Once the appeals are received, your task, Tassian and Duane, will be to appoint an appeals subcommittee to meet, to be able to receive and review the appeals and make a determination. We would look at that appeals subcommittee would meet either the 19th or the 20th of May and to be able to receive the appeals that were received in writing and make a determination and be able to bring that back to the review committee and to the full planning oversight committee in June 1st for action if there's any successful appeals.
Got it. And those instructions will be in writing when these notifications are sent out, if this item is approved tonight, correct?
Yes, it'll be in writing, and we'll also put it on the OFCY website under the request for proposal page.
Yeah, I just wanted to reiterate that because I know even for the application process, you know, there were a lot of calls received as it relates to people missing the deadline for submitting their application. And there was a hard no, like once it was closed, that's just how the system is set up. And just want to reiterate for all grantees or those that did not receive funding that plan on appealing, to keep in mind that the city just advised of a 7-day timeline from the time in which you received notification. And so to adhere to that, if you are planning to appeal.
So how would they, this Bill Ryan, how would they know to appeal?
Well, they'll receive notification if they receive funding or if they were denied.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And so if there's no other questions on readiness, then let's just do it again, just for the record, if we can look for a motion to approve the funding recommendation for FY 2022 to 2023.
So I move to approve.
There a second?
Second.
Awesome. Okay, I'll call for the vote. Bill Riley, Member
no.
Riley?
No.
Okay. Member Evans?
Yes.
Member Lay?
Yes.
Member Davis?
Yes.
Member Allen?
Yes.
Member Manigo?
Yes.
Member Velasco?
Yes.
And yes for Member Kwamalele. So I think for the record, that would be 7 yeses and 1 no.
Yeah. And my no is based on process. I tried to.
Understood.
Try to be clear on that.
Understood. Awesome. Well, thank you, thank you, thank you. And we will move on to agenda item number 7 with the administrative matters, general announcements, upcoming meetings. Mike, I know you just mentioned that both myself and my youth co-chair, Dwayne Davis, would need to appoint for the appeal subcommittee. I'm assuming that would need to happen at this time, since you just mentioned the dates of potentially the 19th or the 20th of May for meetings.
Yes, yes, you need to form an appeals, ad hoc appeals committee. Could be no more than 3 appointees, but you and Dwayne would be ex officio members on that committee. Since we have 11 appointed POC members, it could be a maximum of 5. So if there's any interested individuals here that would like to serve.
Don't all raise your hands at once.
I could serve. I know I can't do the 19th.
And since I'd recommend Anna Creta, since you did volunteer on the review committee, that we open it up to members who haven't been on the review committee, just to get fresh voices. But I do appreciate your willingness to help.
And I said, I'm fine if I'm not.
So, call ya.
Question. So I'm not available on the 19th. That was the other question.
So is the date, once we assign the committee, can the committee members might then work with the city to help us that like set a date that works for everyone's schedule?
We'd like it the 19th or the 20th, just so you have time to, we'd have that information when we go to the Life Enrichment Committee on the 23rd. So we would like to be able to have a preliminary
decision from that. If the 19th doesn't work, would the 20th work? Pecolia?
I can make it work.
Okay, one down, need more.
Look, let me recruit.
Peter,
Meg,
Dwayne.
I would do it, but the 20th would not work for me at all.
Oh, okay.
Could May? We do it earlier on the 19th? Like, could I have a 6 already?
Well, it could be earlier. It doesn't have to be at 6 p.m. We could do it.
If it was earlier, I could do it. I'm on vacation the 20th.
On the 19th? Definitely do it earlier.
I could do it earlier on the 19th.
What about you, Peter? Could you do it earlier on the 19th?
How early are we talking?
I think, I mean, it. I mean, we met our subcommittee. We met at like 2:00, so it wasn't a nighttime meeting.
I would not be able to do 2:00. I could do after 3:30, or around like early afternoon. Just 2 to 3:30 wouldn't work for me.
Could we do 3:30, Mae? Could you do 3:30 on the 19th?
Great.
Okay.
Great.
Perfect. And Dwayne, I hope, I know right now Hassan isn't here. You're one of our only other youth members. And so hopefully you would be able to participate just so we ensure that we have a youth voice a part of these conversations. I think it's really important.
Yes, May 19th at 3:30.
That's yes. Okay. Awesome sauce.
And then the other meeting I would like to just put out is after the May 23rd Life Enrichment Committee meeting. And I would love to have Tassie on you as our chair to be able to speak to the process since you were involved in the subcommittee as well. We'll be at Life Enrichment Committee's at 1:00 on the 23rd. It's a great opportunity to share to the council what the work was. For the Planning Oversight Committee, I'd like to have the review subcommittee reconvene after Life Enrichment Committee on either the 25th or the 26th to be able to allocate final funding that might be available. So that'd be...
Yeah.
I would on the dates if you need offline.
Yeah, let's try to solidify the date. I think the 25th or the 26th could work on my end, but we need to, maybe we could check in offline. The 23rd, depending on the time, you said the meeting is at 1:00. I have a flight that day at 1:50. Okay. So unless it was at the top of 1:00, I probably would need to lean on another one of the subcommittee members to speak at Life Enrichment. But we can also work on that. I can follow up offline for that one as well. If there are any other announcements or upcoming meetings, which we said we'll finalize offline, then I will look to adjourn this meeting at 8:44 p.m.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you all for your good work. I know this was long.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you. Good meeting. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Scott and Caitlin and K-Top.
I'll talk to you tomorrow when the recording isn't on.